Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Linda, and this is Soul in the City, and we are so glad that you're with us this evening. Tonight, I'm excited. I have been kind of ill, so I haven't been doing programs, but I see, and I'm so grateful that you guys still go through the archives, and if you go through the archives, you will see that there are many, many shows that are interesting, enlightening, and empowering, so feel free to do that at any time. Trying to get more on a regular schedule in the next month or so. I've been kind of under the weather, but hey, it's all good. I feel good. God is good, and I am so grateful for so many things. Tonight we have Reverend Michelle Savacco again, and she is going to be talking about the practical tips of life, which did a show, you know, about a month or so ago about that, and we're continuing that with scriptural references. And, you know, in life, there's so many things that goes on in our lives that sometimes you just need those practical tips and to know that the scriptures back up whatever it is. You know, God has a plan for us. And I'm just going to begin off with, you know, even for our success, I go to Deuteronomy 28, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord, your God, that I will give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and never at the bottom. You know, if we just look to God and let Spirit flow through us and follow Spirit and follow what God has told us to do, He's mapped out a plan for us, our lives, and it just makes life a lot more easier to, you know, follow that path that you know is right, to go in a way that, you know, just kind of, you know, is the righteous way to go. I'm going to begin with C.C. Winan and You Are Loved, and then we'll be back with Michelle, Reverend Michelle Savacco. So here is C.C. Winan and You Are Loved.
What you do, no matter what you say, just remember this every day.
And you are loved. Somebody told me to tell you. You know, God, Abba Father told me to tell you, no matter what you're going through, that no matter what goes on in your life, the ups, the downs, the whatever, you are loved. And if it's anybody out there that just feels like you're so alone, if nothing else you get out of this program, know that God loves you. And everything will fall in place. This too shall pass. So you are loved. I'm just going to say a quick prayer, and then we're going to get to Michelle. Father God, Abba, we just want to take the moment to take a breath and just take you all into us. You're there, and we want to revive you through the Holy Spirit and just allow somebody to know that you are loved and everything will be okay, because you know what? We serve a God that will work it all out. So today, Father, let somebody know that they are loved by you, Abba Father. In this we say, so it is, and so it is. So, Reverend Michelle, hello, hello, hello.
Hello. It's good
How
to
are
be
you?
Here again. I'm good.
Is,
how are you?
Good. I hear a little echo, and it might be my phone. But you are, I'm so glad to have you, and we're just going to,
oh,
you know how
you.
We do it, go with it as it comes, because you're just so awesome, and I'm sure that we're going to all get a lot out of the scriptures and the talk about, you know, just doing what it is in life that we have to do.
Oh, thanks.
So I'm going to let you, we introduced you, and I guess I should go back and do that. Quickly, I'm going to let you introduce yourself a little bit because I think the people really know you, and a lot of people listen to your program, so they already kind of know. Reverend Michelle is a musician. She's a teacher. She's a philosopher. She is just a multi-talented woman that encourages, empowers people. She does a lot of things through social media, and I know that she does a lot of classes and workshops. And I'm going to let you go further from that, Michelle, because there's so much that you do. I don't know if I could keep up with it all if I kept on.
Well, my mission is to inspire, empower, and entertain. And I do that in a variety of different ways, including spiritual support, the music ministry that you mentioned, reaching out in a very inclusive way. A couple of the ways that I do that through social media is, one, as a member of Humanities Team, a volunteer, I admin a prayer, meditation, and intention request page on Facebook that's got somewhere around 3,500, 3,600 members. Very fluid. Some people come and go, some stick around for years, but it's a place that's totally just for prayer requests and responding to prayer requests. There's no promotions, no advice. It's just strictly for prayer. So that's one of the things I'm involved in. And vice president of the Association of Practical Christians, who has a radio program, but the program is on hiatus right now, so I'll let you know when that's up and going again.
And it is a good program.
Other than that, I basically, there's a lot of times where, you know, it's like I'm not really sure what I'm going to be doing, but I know that I will get guidance, you know, and things will be coming up. So I just kind of do whatever it is that I feel like I'm being called to do in that moment. during that day a lot of times.
And which is a lot, which contributes, and you uplift people socially on different social issues, which I really admire that you do that, and you kind of keep it going on the Practical Christian page a lot of times, what's going on, and everybody has their input. So you really do a lot. But what do you have for us tonight about the tips for life and living practically?
Well, I think we'll just pick up where we left off last time.
Okay.
And which sounds like a great idea, except that I really don't remember where we left off. So I'm just going to pick up where I think we should be, and probably because it's something I need to hear. And just start with that. And so the first thing is to start seeing each new relationship as new and not judging it by past relationships. You know, and thinking about how many times you've met someone and you immediately pigeonhole them and decide that because of this or that, based on a past experience with someone, that it's just not going to work out, especially for people that are single. And you never even give it a chance. And so it's important to remember when we meet new people that this is a new time, a new person, and even a new you, because we're all changing and evolving, even if it's not always noticeable. So be open to the idea that with a new person, a new time, maybe even a new place, that you might get new results.
And that is so wise.
That I chose, well, and the scripture that I chose to go with that is from John 7:24. Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment.
So good. Because being a single person, you can sometimes, as they say, and it's a cliche, bring in the baggage of the relationship from your past. But it's so good to come into it new. And you know when you expect new things and you don't bring in the old, you're going to get a new and a different result.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that kind of applies with all friendships. Everybody that, you know, you're going to be, because sometimes you meet somebody and for some reason they just remind you of somebody else. And maybe there was some kind of challenge with that other person. And so you automatically just kind of attach it to that person and don't give them a chance. So it's about being open, you know, and using that right judgment as is talked about. And the next thing is start focusing on what you're doing and get a new yardstick.
I like that.
It's time to remember to stop measuring your success by other people's success, because we each define what success means to us. There are some people that's going to mean a big house, expensive car, jewelry and designer clothes. You know, as we get older, sometimes our priorities change. And there's different things we're looking for when we're in different stages in our life. I know what I was looking for when I was 30 was vastly different than what I look for at 60.
Yeah.
And then to other people, it means fulfilling relationships, good health, simple things. And then, of course, for many people, they answer life somewhere in between. But the important thing is you get to choose what success means to you. So if you're basing your success on the success that you think someone else is enjoying, then you got to get a new measuring device, because you don't have to measure up to anyone else. The only person that you have to feel satisfied with and successful to is yourself.
And it's so hard for you when you measure your success against other people. It's like you're always trailing after a rabbit tail that you really can't catch when you just be the best you that God created. It's so much simpler.
Yeah, I actually had somebody in a spiritual support group that I facilitated a number of years ago that would talk in the group about people that they had gone to college with and how successful they were and the cars they drove and stuff like that. And I was like, well, how are their relationships going? You know, and then they were saying, well, this one got divorced and this is, you know, happened with this. And in the meantime, this person had been married for about 20 years already and happily married.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up, I walked off to our utility room and got a stick and came back with it and handed him the stick and told him he had something new to measure himself by now. And because, you know, you just, you'll drive yourself crazy if you just try to compare yourself. So for this one, I chose Proverbs 16:3. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established.
That's
where real success lies to me.
Yes.
When we're living those lives of service.
Mm-hmm.
And we can feel like we're making a difference.
And that is, and you do feel that, and you kind of come to it, and the older you get, like you said, your priorities change. To me, and the older I get, that relationship with God has really, it's like guiding you. The Spirit just takes you. His Spirit shows you different things. You gain so much wisdom by just allowing Him to show you, surrendering.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, if you work a lot with people doing spiritual counseling, responding to prayer requests, and you hear a lot about the different challenges that people have and health challenges and things like that, I know, like, I've gotten to the point where when I wake up in the morning and I, you know, open my eyes and it's a new day, that's success. You know, you can feel the success just because you're here. You get to enjoy another day.
Well, and our pastor this morning was saying something. It's a cliche, but it said, you know, I woke up this morning, but there were a lot of people that did not open their eyes this morning. So every day you wake up, there is a new opportunity for whatever you choose to do that day.
Yeah. Which kind of segues into the next thing, which would be start counting your blessings.
You know,
don't be waking up moaning and groaning, even though you might feel achy or whatever. You know, be grateful for that day. And when you see your glass is half full, you know, do you see it as half full or half empty? Do you feel lack? If you're feeling lack, start counting your blessings. And the blessings aren't just the material things. You know, we can walk around our houses and say, well, I've got this and that and the other thing. But what about the things like running water, electricity, the things that we take for granted, like being able to walk and to talk, and our senses that we get to utilize? Those are all things to be grateful for. And once you start expressing that gratitude, you know, it's just amazing how long the list can be.
And then to me, gratitude opens up the windows for blessings to me. You know, when I start, because you can have those days when you just like, woe is me in life. But when you start, I'm grateful for my relationships, for my friendships, for, you know, just like you said, it'll be never ending. But then it opens up a window of blessing to me when I start seeing it from a place of gratitude.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for that attitude of gratitude.
Yes, it is.
In our health, I think, is, you know, the one of the most important things, and it's the thing that many of us take for granted. So for this one, I chose from John 3:1-2, Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul.
Yes. Yes, yes. Yep. Well, that gratitude is a way to kind of even help you come out of those, you know, when you get into those blahs and depressions. Sometimes I think when I think about all the things that I have to be grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and you were talking about relationships, you know, being mm-hmm. one of those things. And so the next point would be start feeling the joy for who you are and all the things and all the people that have contributed to you being who you are today. You know, it's like everyone has a story, everyone has a past, and the important thing isn't that your experiences or what's happened to you, whether you call them good or bad, it's what you've done with those experiences, because everything contributes in some way to the wonderful person that you are today.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and it's hard. I'm going to be talking in a couple weeks about relationships and how they play into the holidays, getting together, you know, like at Thanksgiving time. And one of the things that I'm going to be talking about is being thankful for all of those people, all of those circumstances. And sometimes you look at those and you're like, oh, not that person. Not that situation. That was too painful. But when you think about it, they do all contribute in some way. And a lot of times, that pain that we've experienced, that it makes us more compassionate. And it also kind of motivates us to be helpful to other people that are going through those things.
I'm so sorry. I'm still kind of coughing a lot, but you know, those tests and trials is saying something about your tests become your testimony, and is the lessons that you learned. And you seem to have learned, if you really evaluate some of the relationships that maybe there might have been some little hiccups in, you have learned so much from whatever. You've either learned what I don't want or what I want to speak, to have a voice. You've usually learned something so much from those relationships that maybe you might have viewed in a negative way.
Mm-hmm. And that's why the important thing about it is, what have you done with those experiences?
Mm-hmm.
And for this one, I chose from 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are different places in the Bible where it tells you to give thanks, you know, for all things. You don't just give thanks for those things that you feel like go good, go well, the people you love. You give thanks in all circumstances, all situations, for all people. And that kind of segues into the next one, because sometimes it is difficult to do that with people that have hurt you in some way. So the next one is to start forgiving.
Wow, and that was,
you know,
really
forgiving
on the tip
is
of
one
tongue.
Of the, and forgiving is one of the most important things that we can do for our peace of mind and heart. And in order not to stay stuck in the past. And it's great, you know, if somebody asks us for forgiveness, and we can do that. But it's really a process that we do for ourselves so that we're not controlled in any way. We're not tethered. We're not bound by that other person, the situation, and circumstance.
And you're bound by yourself.
Well, and you know? Yes. And we've talked about this part before, too, that it was important enough that Jesus included it in the prayer he modeled for us in our Lord's Prayer.
Yes, he did.
He also, when he was asked how often we should forgive, he used a multiple of 7, which 7 metaphysically represents completion. But mm-hmm. he said not just 7 times, 70 times 7. So, in other words, keep forgiving until you're done. And if you don't feel like you can forgive, then be willing and open, because your willingness and your openness will put you halfway there. And then, of course, the scripture that I chose for this is from Matthew 18, 21 and 22, which, you know, recounts Peter coming up and asking, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And he goes on to say the 70 times 7 times to forgive.
Which we should. It just really, it sets you free when you forgive. It just really, because you kind of bound yourself. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that, you know, we're also told that Jesus had said, make peace with your adversary quickly.
Wow. Yes,
and we talked about that in a class one time and realized that so often that adversary is us. We're the ones that are the hardest on ourselves of anybody. And we're more resistant to forgiving ourselves. We hesitate more to forgive ourselves. We can carry things around that we did for so long. So that also applies to us. You know, we've got to be willing to forgive ourselves, because how can you love yourself, as we're told to do, you know, love God, love yourself, love your neighbor as yourself. If we can't forgive ourselves, we can't love ourselves. If we can't love ourselves, we can't really love our neighbor, because he says as us, which to me means as part of us. We are all one. We are all connected. And so we also, if we can't be doing those things, we can't be loving God either.
Wow. That's true. Yeah, it's like you stay stagnant into your past if you can't allow yourself to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
You get stuck right there wherever that place of unforgiveness is. That's where you're stuck.
And it just doesn't feel good.
It does not. Certainly does not.
Now the next thing is, start living up to your own standard and lift up others in the process. Think about what your standards are, how you desire to conduct your life. What are your priorities? Are you living in integrity? Are you living life in a way that feels whole or holy to you? Make mental notes of anything that you say or you do that make you feel less than, in terms of living up to your own standard, and release those things that aren't serving you any longer. If they don't serve you, chances are pretty good they can't be serving others either. So when you're living this way and you've released those things and you're living in integrity and honoring your priorities, you lift yourself up, and as you lift yourself up, you can't help but lift others up in the process. And for that one, I chose from Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. So we want to do things that are going to lift us up and lift everybody up in that process.
Yeah, that's kind of like standing up in your own integrity. It provides a space for others to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So these are so good.
Just like when you respect yourself, then other people respect you. If you don't, if you're not showing that you respect yourself, they won't expect that they have to either.
That's so true. And it does lead, it opens up the door for a lot of other things that you don't want in when you don't value who you are and know who you are.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you want to take the time, you know, and think about what your priorities are and how you want to be spending your time. That's the next thing that I'm addressing, is to use your time constructively and let your actions speak for you. And using time constructively doesn't mean that you always have to be doing something. You know, when you think about it, we're called human beings, not human doings.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the most constructive things that we can do with our time is to make sure we're getting enough rest.
Yes.
Making sure we get what we need. We also need to take time to be in the presence through prayer and meditation and going within to receive divine guidance. And then, after you've done those things, then it's time to put feet on those prayers and let your actions speak for you.
So good. I mean, really, these are really good, great tips for life, backed by the biblical scriptures to help. And really, when you think about it, when you know, you do these things consistently, you know, and strive for that, you know, after a while, it's like not like you're striving. It becomes your way of life.
Mm-hmm. But one of the things people have to move past a lot of times is that many of us grew up in environments where we were told taking time for ourselves was selfish.
Yes.
We were always supposed to be doing something. You were rewarded for hard work. You know, you had to be doing things for other people and stuff like that. And the reality is that we have to care for ourselves too.
And, you know, something I have found that my quiet time, in whatever time, I don't presume to tell anybody when that time is for you, but when I start my day, even if it's only 20 minutes, just with quiet time, that is when I get so much direction. That's like an important time for me to set the standard for my day, is when I have this, it's my prayer time, my quiet time that I just listen for instructions and I speak my heart to God. And it's like my day just kind of flows from that moment on.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then when you've regrouped like that, then you are in a position to work heartily, as it talks about in Colossians in 3, verse 23 and 24. Says, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. But before you can work heartily, you know, and think about it, we think about working heartily as like really putting a lot of energy into it. Mm-hmm. But when you look at that word, At the root of it is heart. You got to be putting your heart into it.
That is true. Wow, that's good. So good.
So after we've taken this time and we've done the work, then we also got to remember to take breaks, because
yes,
everything that we do is a creation process. So just as when God went through the creation process and a break followed, we call it the Sabbath, we also need those breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to wait until whatever project we're working on is totally done. When you think about it, the creation story wasn't by any means done. You know, look how much everything's evolved since that time. It's an ongoing thing. So you just got to remember, you know, to take those breaks. It may be at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So don't think that you have to wait until you're done, because life in general is a process of constant creating and change. And then
that
you could probably guess which scripture I chose for this one, but since we're talking about that break after the creation process.
Yes, on this. Yes, I kind of can, but I'm going to let you.
Okay, well, from Exodus, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Yes, and it is, and I love Sundays. You know, I do a couple of things, but there's a lot of rest going on in this house on Sundays. We call it chill time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we still may go ahead.
No, I was going to say, taking a break, you know, and getting rest, sometimes I think that can mean just doing something different than you normally do.
It can be.
It could be, you know, go out and bowling or whatever.
I don't think you actually
have to just be sleeping, but doing
right.
something that you find to be a restful activity and just something different than you usually do.
Well, and rest to me, like sometimes it's just sitting here listening to music or whatever that is that I enjoy. Because music is so settling, you know, and I'm sure music is probably a soothing, restful thing for you since you are, and maybe not since you're a musician, but it is for me, and I'm not a musician, but I love music. I love to listen. I love to sing, even though, you know, everybody can't take that, but I do love to sing. But it is it's just like it's a release for me.
Mhm. Yeah, I pretty much like all kinds of music. They all have their place. But my favorite thing to do for relaxing and just kind of zoning out is playing my drums.
Mm.
And, you know, just kind of getting into a zone in the different rhythms of that. So the next thing is, start enjoying all the little things.
Yes.
And the first step to that is to notice the little things. Be aware of them. Let your senses come alive. Be aware of the different sights and sounds. Like, we live kind of in the middle of the woods in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So when the windows are open, I'm hearing the squirrels running across the roof and messing around outside and the birds and everything. And just, you know, take in those sights, the sounds, the tastes. How often do we eat on the run? We eat unconsciously, you know, and all of a sudden we're done and we're like, wow, I didn't even taste that. You know, so take the time when you're eating to enjoy the textures, the flavors, the smells, things like that. The feels of the things that you're surrounded by. There's so many different textures. And just take time to breathe. It's like the, I don't know, to me creation is just, it's magnificent. I hear people talk about, you know, things being mundane all the time. And I'm just more like, well, there's so much magnificence and miracles all around you. But it's just that we kind of rush through life and we don't take the time to really look at these things and embrace them, appreciate them and everything.
And to me, it is something settling for me to be in nature. Whether it's taking a walk and I'm surrounded by trees or walking past a pond or even sometimes just taking a walk and somewhere along the sidewalk or something, I notice there's some pretty little flowers or something like that.
Right.
It's rejuvenating sometimes. That's why I love to walk sometimes, to kind of clear my head. But I'm just kind of like diverted for that moment to, hey, look at that tree and the way it, you know. And I think that is sometimes, I think it's something in The Curl of Purple when one says, I feel like if you go past a field of purple flowers and you don't notice it, God gets pissed. I think she said pissed off, but I don't know about that. But, you know, I can understand how we could just walk past something so beautiful as a field of purple flowers and not say,
mm-hmm.
wow. You know, so, yeah.
I'm kind of like that with a yard full of dandelions. I love dandelions.
Those are beautiful.
You know, there's good things you can make from them. You can use them for salad and for wine, and I love the color yellow. And it's like people are always spraying them to get rid of them so they don't take over their lawn. And I'm thinking, we go out and we buy flowers to plant, but if you just leave the dandelions alone, you'd have a yard full of yellow and, you know, and flowers and stuff. So I think we're kind of funny that way sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But for this one, I chose, and I'm sure you probably have this one in mind too, from Genesis 1, number 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good.
And so it
so
is. It is.
See that goodness, the godness of each thing, and just feel the joy as you connect to those things, knowing that, you know, everything and everyone has that essence. And then the next thing is, start enjoying what is. Many of us are perfectionists, and no matter how well we do something, we think we should or can do better. And in that striving to do more or better, we miss out on what is right here, right now, in this moment. And, you know, if you, we think about perfect as being like, well, my hair's got to look just so, or I've got to have this body that I'm being told on TV and in the magazines that I should have and things like that. But to be perfect actually means to have all that's required.
Mm,
and as
and that
children
is so
of
true.
God, created in that image and likeness, we have all that's needed within us. We are complete. We are whole. So just enjoy what is.
I have a caller, and I don't know if you, we're just going to say hi to them. I don't know if they have anything to say. Are you okay with that, Michelle?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, caller. How are you? Do you want to give us a first name?
My name is JM.
Okay. Well, did you have a question, or were you just listening to enjoy?
Well, I was listening to enjoy, enjoying it very much. I was just curious as to how you feel that the role of music plays in expanding that spiritual consciousness and awareness, and maybe some just general thoughts about that, since it fills up our day so much with certain types of music. But I was just curious, since that you opened your program with a song, and I know that Reverend Sivako plays musically, and I was just curious how you felt about music in terms of personal development and awareness and that type of.
Well, for me, music just kind of opens me up. That's part of my quiet time, is that I focus on maybe some words, or it takes me to that place. And not always, you know, maybe Christian music, but there's other songs that have a message for me, and it just really soothes my soul. But I'm going to let Michelle answer that, since she is a musician, and how music plays an important part for her.
I'm sitting here thinking, wow, a pop quiz. The music, I can't imagine life without it. It's just so much a part of my life. I sing a lot of my prayers as I walk around the house. I sing my prayers of thanksgiving. You know, I do music on a regular basis at different churches and centers and things like that. And music, it's like no matter what language you speak, where you live in the world, it's the, you know, one thing that we can really connect on, and especially rhythms. It's like I think all of us have this kind of primal thing that goes on with drum beats, and drumming is really my passion, and one of my favorite things to do is facilitate rhythm circles. And just recently, I facilitated and coordinated a global rhythm circle for oneness, and there was several thousand people from all over the globe that participated wherever they were, sometimes individually, sometimes with a group. But it's like we all have a pulse. You know, and there are people that will tell me they're not a percussionist, and I'm like, do you have a pulse? Because if you got a pulse, then you've got an inner percussionist. So I think everybody responds to those rhythms and connects through those rhythms. And we may not know anything about somebody's culture, their religion, their faith path, anything at all, but you start playing music and the next thing you know, you've either got people humming or joining in with instruments, or they start to move around, start to dance. And I think it's, to me, it's one of the ways that we best connect with each other.
Great.
I'll agree.
Thank you.
I'll agree.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks
for
calling.
Call, and we appreciate
Thank
it. Was it. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, I'm going to just let you continue, Reverend Michelle,
because
okay. It's just been so great and a lot of good information.
Well, the next thing is follow your bliss
mm-hmm.
and start being proactive. If you don't like what you're doing, then do something differently. You know, I saw a meme fairly recently, and it said something about, like, life isn't like a television. If you don't like what you're seeing, there isn't a remote control for it. You got to get up and change it yourself. And you basically do. If you don't like where you are, go someplace else. Whatever is going on, don't wait for something to happen. Make something happen. But remember to ask for divine guidance. And follow that guidance. You don't want to just get up and move so that you have what, you know, what ends up amounting to a geographical fix. Because when you do that and you go someplace else, guess what? You're going with you. You know, so that part isn't going to change. So it's important to ask for that divine guidance and then follow the guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And for that one, I chose from Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. So just ask for that guidance and then get quiet so that you can hear, because just like when you and I talk, if I'm in the middle of talking, you can't get a word in edgewise. I got to be quiet before you can talk.
So true. And it's just so good to just be quiet. To me, it's part of the prayers to you know, make your needs known and then just listen to what God has to say.
Mm-hmm. Be still and know.
Be still and know, right.
Okay, and the next thing is to start being honest about how you feel.
Mm.
Now, that seems like that might be a, well, duh. But how often have you bitten your lip rather than saying what you feel? And it's not always about telling someone about how you feel about something that they've said or done. It's also about how you feel in general. Like, how many times has someone asked you to do something and you really didn't want to do it, but you didn't want to disappoint them, so you said yes? Or how many times have you done something because you thought your friend wouldn't be a friend anymore, or you'd lose a relationship because you let somebody down, but it wasn't something you really wanted to do? So be honest about how you feel. Be honest with yourself, because ultimately, as the saying goes, honesty is the best policy. And if you're wanting to live an authentic life, It's a requisite to do that.
It is.
And for this one, I chose Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another.
Wow. We are. That's so good. So, so good. Well, do you
in
have a couple of more? I think we got time for a couple of more.
Okay. How about taking responsibility?
Yes.
You know, how many of us have had at least one brother or sister that we grew up with, and we blame things on our sibling when it was something that we weren't supposed to do, or we broke something, or, you know, or how many of us, when we formed relationships and they didn't work out, it was always because of the other person?
Yeah.
How many of us have done that at work, on the job? How many of us grew up in a mainstream religion where the devil made us do it, when it actually was choices that we made?
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, we have to take responsibility. We can't be empowered without being willing to take responsibility. Not all relationships work out, not all jobs work out, but sometimes it's us. And that's not a bad thing. It's just not where we're at that time or a good fit. It just is. And we can't always do anything about the situation or the circumstance. We can't change the other person or persons. So what's left? Us. And we always have that choice about how we're going to react or respond to the people, the situations, or the circumstances. And for that one, I chose from Galatians 6:5, for each will have to bear his own load.
Yes, yes.
So to me, that speaks to taking responsibility.
It does. It really, really does. Wow.
They start enjoying today.
Mm-hmm.
Live from the place of joy within you, this very moment. The past is a memory. The future doesn't exist yet, unless you're traveling to a different time zone. So stay in the moment as much as possible, rather than projecting either backward or forward. And we learn about that in Matthew 6:34, where it says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I think there's a good reason that in the prayer that Jesus gave us, our Lord's Prayer, he said, give us this day our daily bread. There wasn't anything said about tomorrow. There wasn't anything said about yesterday. It was give us this day, and I think it's because we're meant to live in the moment. Live today.
Yeah.
Enjoy today.
That almost seems, I don't know if you have another one. I think we have time for another one. But that
I was
going to
say,
if you have
time for one more, I'd like to end with gratitude. Because me, that attitude of gratitude is just so important. And to start the day, every day, with a thank you. It doesn't even have to be for anything in particular. Just thank you. And as you express that gratitude, you can feel it spilling over into that thankfulness. So take time to do that each day. Feel yourself filling up and then expressing. The words are great, but remember the doing is even better. And the best way that you can show your gratitude and your thankfulness is how you turn around and put that into action, helping other people, serving other people. And for that one, I chose from Psalm 107:1, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
And that was the perfect one to end on. I am grateful for these tips for living. That's what I call the program, Tips for Living. And if you go through the program, which I'm going to listen to it again, because there were some great tips, some great insights, and the scriptural references to back them up. Thank you. I'm going to express my gratitude to you, Reverend Michelle, for sharing with us
welcome.
Today. You know the
Thank
door is always open.
Thank you for having me as the guest again.
Anytime, because you just bring so much. Like, I just get so much. Usually I always listen to the programs again, and when I do, when I listen, even with the last program, when I listen to the program, I got so much out of it. And so this one I'm looking forward to listening and hearing the insights. Thank you so much. Please come back again anytime you have anything. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Sure.
Well, be blessed. I'm going out on You Are Loved with C.C. Winans again. Have a great week. And know that whatever goes on, you've got these great insights today on how to live life to be successful for who you are and who God intended you to be. You are loved. You are powerful. You are empowered. You're God's child. And the abundance of the earth is yours. You know, do what God has chosen you to do with that. So I'm going out on You Are Loved. Have a fantastic week. I again want to thank Reverend Michelle for her great insights. And we're going out. Be blessed. You are loved.
Thank you.
Be afraid.